Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam. I'm dying to have this pint with you, but your guys won't let me in.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. I hate the fact that the whole world has got smaller. And I know sometimes it can perhaps feel like you guys are sort of being kept at arm's length, but I despair of the fact that everyone is being kept at arm's length. So the paperwork that my wife and I have just had to do to go and spend a week in Spain or in the Spanish territory is ridiculous. And you think, hang on a moment, you know, they're just over there, we're just over here. There are a million Brits who live in Spain mainland itself. And America has only just announced after 20 months they're going to let Brits and Europeans in again, jumping through hoops and form filling and testing and tracing and so forth. And I just get the feeling that, yeah, 10 years ago or so, we didn't know it, but that was about as good as travel was ever going to be.
Right. Okay, so it's also difficult for you. Now, talk to me, how much of the Spain trouble that you're having is due to COVID and how much of it is due to Brexit impact?
Yeah, don't really know. I guess my feeling is about three quarters of it is pandemic related. But yeah, there's definitely some Brexit in there as well, in that no longer being a part of a sort of block pack like that is that it makes us very much more South African than we ever were. You know, I know you have blocks, you know, Africa Union, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to negotiate all these deals separately, and then it turns around and bites you on the bum, doesn't it? And you go, actually, you know, America can now say that. Naff off, we're not interested. Australia can do the same. Australia's been close to us. And we've got hundreds of thousands of Australians here, some of whom have not been able to go home, some of whom have managed to sort of slip in through the side door. And again, our links with other countries meant that, for instance, crazily, when India had this terrible surge of variant, there were lots of people from Britain going to India and vice versa, thinking that's exactly the point at which the door should have been closed.
That's right.
There we are.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, in Russia, we got two stories in Russia this morning. A student gunman was killed.
Yeah, a gunman opening fire at a university at Perm State University. This is right over in the sort of Ural Mountains area. So we're 1,000 kilometers east of Moscow or so. And this gunman, a student, essentially had posted a load of stuff online inevitably, but also told people how much he hated everyone, how he was filled with hate, and decided to take it out on his fellow students, it seems. And at least six people have been shot dead. It may well be eight. 24 people also hurt. And again, obviously, we'll watch for their progress in hospital and so forth. Students locking themselves in rooms at one stage, others jumping out of windows. There are photos all over online about, you know, students jumping and running for their lives. And there were 3,000 people on the campus at the time of this shooting. You can imagine the kind of fear that was just running through as word got out. And Russia doesn't have the same problem as America. Gun control is there. And yet they had a mass shooting, I think it was earlier this year, that killed 9, and one 3 years ago that killed 20. They have an issue again.
They certainly do. I'm sorry to hear that. I don't know if this will be something that will come up in the election or whether it's just a focus on the Putin-Navalny nexus.
Well, I guess the focus is on Putin because it does look, I mean, I think 99% of the votes have been counted, and it's another big win for Putin, who from the outside, you might think, well, he's head of the Communist Party. Actually, no, he's the head of the United Russia Party. So in other words, they beat the communists. It's a bit weird to spot the difference, though. The Russian communists essentially support Vladimir Putin. But it's a very different kind of democracy in Russia. And sometimes I don't think I've got my head around it. I know it takes a lot of getting your head around the idea that you have a democracy, but Vladimir Putin was able to ban vocal critics of his from running. Candidates who were allowed to stand had been heavily vetted by security forces, etc. I mean, that's bad enough. But then also we have numerous allegations of ballot stuffing and forced voting, employers telling their workers to vote and who to vote for. So here's my whimsical question for you, Rafilwe. If Russia's accused of directly interfering in democratic elections in Germany, France, the United Kingdom, the United States, who's interfering in theirs?
Oh, that's a great point.
I wonder.
I suppose clearly they're meddling in their own, right, with these restrictions.
Could be, yes.
And then a new arms race has come into play with the US Defence Pact.
Yes. Well, now, we mentioned this defence pact between the US, UK and Australia. This is a deal to share technology and military hardware and excludes France. And French anger has been extraordinary. They've cancelled meetings and talks and withdrawn ambassadors because the deal scuppered a submarine deal that the French had with Australia worth $40 billion. I think most of us would be a bit upset about losing $40 billion. But the take from North Korea and China, now, maybe there's an element of they would say that, wouldn't they, is that this pact to share technology, nuclear-powered submarines, etc., is a, quote, nuclear arms race. A foreign ministry official in North Korea says the AUKUS deal, as it's called, would upset the strategic balance in the Asia-Pacific region. And China's foreign ministry spokesman, Zhao Lijian, says it risks severely damaging regional peace and intensifying the arms race. Again, they would say that, wouldn't they? Because maybe it just means there's a bit more of a challenge. Mind you, they're saying that with American and Royal Navy ships steaming around the South China Sea. It's almost as if we're all looking for trouble.
Well, they're busy trying to sort of consolidate power with some islands around there, but I'm not educated enough to comment on that just yet. A modern day ghost story. What in the world? Is Patrick Swayze back?
not quite that good, or that bad, depending on how you look at it. And no potter's wheel. We have a primary school teacher called Jonathan Lewis, who moved into his new home. So we're in England in a leafy and posh bit of Surrey, and he moved into his new home, and so far so good. But he found a little gap under the stairs, a void that had been boarded up, and it's his house. He thought, I'll have a look at that. He prized the boards off, and inside there was a rag doll in a pinstripe dress and bonnet, clutching a note. And the ragdoll's note says she killed the original owners of the house in the 1960s, stabbed them all to death for being, quote, too merry. The ragdoll note ends, I hope you have knives. Sleep well. Now, Jonathan has done the sensible thing and decided to take the whole thing as just a sick joke. And he says he finds the thing hilarious. But Rafilbe, I've seen Scooby-Doo. This is the point at which somebody says, yikes, run.
Let's go, Scooby. Of course, it was always red herring. Okay, well, thank you so much, Adam. I'm hoping it's not Chucky. I'm hoping it's not. I don't do horror, so I don't know any references. Catch up with you tomorrow, and good luck with all the Spanish travel, and maybe we'll have that point one of these days.